the sign of Jonah.
Yes.
Now, I think what the people are talking about here is the issue of 3 days and three nights. For yes. as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so there are many that say there wasn't a Friday crucifixion. It was a Wednesday crucifixion.
Yes.
And there were church denominations that preached that. But the general Christian world has always accepted the Friday to Sunday issue. Now, how do we get the answer to this one? We have to understand the historic context. We have to understand the mode of reckoning time in the Jewish economy. They used inclusive reckoning. Any portion of a day was considered a day. So whether it was an hour or whether it was the full 24 hours, it was a day. Now, originally in the Bible, it defined a day as, and it was evening and it was morning the first day. And it was evening and it was morning the second day. And later on it tells us in the Bible, from evening to evening shall your Sabbaths be. So a day starts when the sun sets.
The dawn.
And the day ends at the next sunset. It's actually a beautiful system. So when would it be day one? Any portion of the first day-night period. And so we talk about days, or we talk about evenings and mornings as a designation of the day. If you look, go to Daniel, the 2,300-day prophecy, it's evening and morning, right? And it was evening and it was morning the first day. That designates a day. So it wouldn't be wrong to translate it 2,300 days yes. in that case, for example. Okay, so that was the way in which they worked. They used inclusive reckoning. They took it further. Any portion of a year was considered the first year.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't say, okay, now it is September and your year will end in September. So if you came in December and you were still part of the system, that was year one. That's why you get the anomaly that Nebuchadnezzar was in his second year and Daniel already in his third year, although Nebuchadnezzar was the one who'd actually taken Daniel
yes.
to Babylon, right?
It's the reckoning.
The one reckoning
is Hebrew
was different.
Reckoning, that one is Babylonian.
Correct.
Reckoning.
And the Babylonians had what they called an ascension year, which was not reckoned.
Okay.
So the Bible is absolutely spot on. It is humanity that gets mixed up and muddled up when it comes to these issues. So when was Christ crucified? We have to find the answer in the Bible.
Yes.
And I always like to, and by the way, I did a whole Bible study on that, and I think it's on the Amazing Discoveries webpage.
Yes, I'll put a link to it.
I think it's in Bible Answers.
Answers, yes.
Yeah. So if we go to the Gospel, I'd like to take the Gospel of Mark, because it shows it very nicely and very clearly. And we can start there with chapter 11. Now, I like this story because the Gospel of Mark from chapter 11 describes the last week in Jesus' life from the triumphant entry. Now, Jesus had spent the Sabbath with Lazarus and his family. Remember, he had resurrected Lazarus and he had spent the Sabbath there. And on the first day of the week, they entered into Jerusalem. And Lazarus was the one leading the ass, the foal of a donkey, right? Mm. And this was an amazing scene. And then it describes to us the various situations that happened. And what happened and the stories and what Jesus taught and everything is in there. But it is sequential.
Mm.
Now, it doesn't mention which day it was, But you, by working back and find out exactly that it was the first day of the week. It was Sunday when the triumphant entry took place. So Jesus had spent the Sabbath with Lazarus and his family. And it's a beautiful story because he actually went to have lunch, Sabbath lunch, with Simon. And Simon was a leper.
Yes.
And Jesus had healed him from his leprosy, and he should have been very grateful, right? And Mary Magdalene was also there, and she brought this beautiful ointment, this wonderfully expensive perfume, and she anointed Jesus' head for his burial, as he claimed.
Yes.
And she washed his feet with her tears, and Simon was giving him the look and saying, I know he was thinking, this man healed me from my leprosy, but does he know what manner of woman this is? Because obviously he knew, right? And then Jesus told him that if you were forgiven much, you loved much. And he told the little parable about the one who had been forgiven much and the one who had not been forgiven much. And that all took place on the Sabbath day. Now comes the triumphant entry. He's already been anointed for his death.
Yes.
Now I find it very interesting that this week that is described here, to me, is the antithesis to the creation week. So the creation week was 6 days, one day rest.
Yes.
Right? And here you have 6 days of labor and a rest in the grave.
Yes.
Now, if we look at it in that way, let's see if we can find something interesting. And when they came nigh unto Jerusalem, unto Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and says unto them, go your way into the village over and against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him, and if any man say unto you, why do you do this? Say that the Lord has need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. So then it tells the story of the triumphant entry. That's day one.
Yes.
Doesn't mention the day, doesn't say anything about it, it just tells us that's the day one. And then if you drop down to verse 12, now my Bible is the normal King James Bible, and I've mentioned this before, but if I can show you over here.
Yes.
You see, verse 12 is written in boldface. Now, I like a Bible that has new paragraphs indicated by boldface like this one, because then the thoughts don't run into each other. For example, verse 11 is not boldface, neither are any of those, so that's all one paragraph, and here the next paragraph starts, and it says, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And that was the new day, so that was day two. And you carry on, verse 13 and 14 are not boldface. Then verse 15 is a new paragraph. It's written in boldface. And it goes down, and you come to verse 20. It's boldface, and it says, in the morning, as they passed by, new paragraph. So this is a new thought. This is a new day. This is day three. So it's useful to have that, because it tells you, close of one little story, beginning of next little story. Then verse 12 says, and on the morning. So that's the next day.
Second day, yeah.
So you don't know what day it is, doesn't say that. Now we know it was Sunday, because the Sabbath he had been
resting
with Lazarus. Mm. But now it was the triumphant entry, and Lazarus was leading the foal. And on the morrow, when they had come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off. So here is this very mournful story of the fig tree. Now, I don't want to give a whole Bible study on this.
That's a whole Bible lecture on its own.
It's almost irresistible. Figs are amazing because figs actually start making their fruits before the leaves come. So if there are lots of leaves, you would expect what?
Lots of fruits.
All right. Now, it was not the season for figs. Mm. So here was a fig tree, it was full of leaves, so it should have had figs, and the others had no leaves. So you wouldn't expect figs on them yet.
Yes.
Okay, so he gets there, and he curses the fig tree because it had no fruit. It was a presumptuous fig tree. Mm. Now, what is interesting to me in that parable, one of my family members was very enraged by this parable because it seemed so unreasonable that Jesus should have done this. But I don't think she understood the meaning of this parable. In this story, it's not a parable, it's an acted parable, if you like. The fig tree represented, of course, Israel. Mm-hmm. And it had leaves, so it was presumptuously pretentious, but it had no fruit. The others were not presumptuous, they had no leaves, so you couldn't expect fruit, right? And they, of course, represented the Gentile nations.
Yes.
That didn't have fruit,
so
and they didn't have leaves. Yeah. They weren't pretending to know the truth and be representatives whatsoever. And he cursed the fig tree because Israel was, of course, the one that rejected the truth. So that was day two. And then this is the last week of Jesus' life. So if he was crucified on the Wednesday, then we should find it in here, right?
Correct.
Okay. Then we drop down to verse 20. And there it says, and in the morning. So that is the third day now. And then it tells you everything that happened and what Jesus taught. And a long story about everything that Jesus taught on that specific day. And it goes through quite a number of chapters in the Bible. And then, so if that was the third day, and let's for the sake of argument assume that we are dealing with from Sunday. So then we had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, gone. And then chapter 14, it tells us, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft. So let's read that again in 2 days. So we are now here on the fourth day now. And it tells us what's happening on the fourth day and that Judas went out to betray the Lord with the Pharisees. He made a deal with them. He actually wanted Jesus to show his power.
Yes.
He wanted to force his hand, as it were. And then if we drop down to verse 12, you will again see that it is bowl time.
Yes.
And it says, and the first day of unleavened bread, so before it was the second one, now it's the fourth day. So this is the fifth day. And what happened then? They killed the Passover. So what day was that? That was the Thursday.
Yes.
His disciples said to him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eatest the Passover? Now, they ate the Passover at sunset, right?
Yes.
So once the sunset was over, what day were you in then?
The sixth day.
Then you were in the sixth day. So on the fifth day, they're preparing for the Lord's Supper and everything that happened on the Lord's Supper. And that was the fifth day. Now when the sun had set, then it was
the sixth day. So the Thursday afternoon in the evening is the beginning of the sixth day.
Correct. So, on that night, Thursday evening, when it became Friday, that evening was Friday, the sixth day, Jesus went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And everything that happened there in the garden, I'll be doing a sermon next on what the issue was and how it relates to our time, what is important. That'll be the next sermon that we'll be doing on amazing discoveries. And so that Friday, the night after the Thursday had closed, after sunset, Jesus was arrested and Jesus was tried through the night, and they had the night trial. But they weren't allowed to pass judgment if it was not day. It was one of their rules.
So I just want to make it clear, if I understand it now. So we're talking about the sixth day. This is the Thursday evening in our reckoning, up until the Friday.
So during the night, they were busy with the trials of Jesus. And straightway in the morning, that's chapter 15. So this is now Friday morning.
Yes.
The chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away. So here was the morning trial, because now it was legal. It was very early in the morning. The sun had just risen, and off they went to Pilate. And then it tells you everything that happened on that particular day. And then on that Friday, they crucified him. On that same day.
Yes.
But now it's interesting that the Bible actually gives us the hours.
Yes.
Gives us the hours of this particular day. And they told you what happened to him and how they took him to Herod and how he was taken to the place of the skull. And then it says in verse 24, and when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Now, when was the third hour? Now, when they started reckoning, not when does the day start and when does the day end,
but when does the morning start?
Hours, they started counting hours at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
So from 6 o'clock, the third hour would be 9 o'clock.
Then, yeah.
So by 9 o'clock on that morning, they had already procured all of these issues, and he was on the cross. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, the King of the Jews. And then we drop down to verse 33, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. So it gives us the hours.
Perfect.
So there was darkness from the sixth hour, which was 12 o'clock, noon, until the ninth hour, which was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So we're all still on this one day.
Yes.
And at the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And this is when he died. So we know that it was before the Sabbath. Now let's just make sure. In verse 42, it spells it out. Now when the evening was come, so it was going into the late afternoon evening stage, right?
Yes.
It was still the Friday.
Still
he
Friday.
Died at 3 o'clock. It says, because it was the preparation.
Okay.
That is the day before the Sabbath. You can't go wrong there. Now this word, the preparation, was used specifically for the preparation for the seventh-day Sabbath.
Correct. Because there's some people that say that was the preparation for the yearly Sabbath.
For the ceremonial Sabbath. But this makes it quite clear that it was a high Sabbath. It was a yearly Sabbath which happened to coincide with a weekly Sabbath, which made it a high Sabbath. And if you consider this the last week of Jesus' life, it is actually the week of recreation, to recreate humanity into the image of God, through what we just discussed, the imputed and imparted righteousness of Christ.
Yes.
So this last week which started off with a triumphant entry. The first time when he allowed himself to be acknowledged as the Messiah.
Yes.
Amazing, right?
Yes. And actually acknowledged also like the Messiah and the King.
And the King.
Yes.
He was Messiah, he was King, he was the one, and they shouted, "Here's the one that comes riding on a donkey." Yes. They knew the prophecy.
Yes.
And here he comes, and this is the recreation week. It is as important a week
as
the creation week. In fact, it's more important.
Yeah.
Because it reveals the entire character of God. So beautiful. It was the preparation. That is the day before the Sabbath. And then they laid him in the grave, right? And they anointed him as far as they could, but then they had to stop.
Yes.
Because why? The Sabbath was coming. So it says in verse 16, in chapter 16, verse 1, "And when the Sabbath was passed..." So we know that the Sabbath is when he was in the grave, because it says previously in verse 46, yeah, "And he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid." So there he laid for the Sabbath day. That's the seventh day. "And when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week." Explicit. Okay, so let's work it back.
Mm-hmm.
The first day of the week, we know, it's Sunday. Sunday. The Sabbath, he was in the grave.
Yes.
The Friday, we have the hours so that we know what took place from sunset Thursday to sunset Friday. So 3 o'clock he had died, enough time for him to go into the grave. In fact, Pilate was surprised that he had died.
Yes.
Because they had to break the legs of the others to hasten the process.
Yes. Because they had to get him off before the Sabbath.
Correct, according to their rules, right? So this whole issue is very clear. From the triumphant entry, you had day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, giving you the hours.
Mm-hmm.
Then it had the Sabbath, laying in the grave, rest. So it follows the creation week.
Yes.
6 days shalt thou labor, but the Sabbath is rest. He rested in the grave, and he rose to continue his work as high priest on the first day of the week.
The Creator.
Correct.
In the first week of creation, the Creator, the same Creator that made the first week, rested in the grave the second week.
How far? According to their custom, not according to the Bible, were they allowed to walk on a Sabbath day? They weren't allowed to walk more than a kilometer, right? So they had all kinds of interesting plans as to how to walk further.
Yes.
So they used to hide food under a stone and said, "Well, there where you eat, that's your home. So now you can walk the next one." So
didn't you also mention sometime that they had in their coats woven in, and then they take it off and put it down, and then they can walk another?
Correct. Yeah. Now, that Sunday morning, there were two gentlemen that walked all the way to Emmaus. Remember that?
Correct.
And what did Jesus do?
He appeared to them.
And he walked with them.
He gave them a Bible study.
He gave them a Bible study. So it was a working day for him. And he walked many kilometers on that day. So the Bible is very clear. There was no Wednesday crucifixion, because then this whole gospel would be null and void.
It's beautiful how this whole creation week and crucifixion week come into harmony, and also with the whole plan of salvation.
Absolutely. So you had the 6 days and the day of rest. And the 6 days and the day of rest.
Yes.
Yes.